Okay. Well, today's kind of a short notice talk. Kyle was supposed to speak today, but with the snow and everything clear up in Layton, it was really bad, so they decided that it wasn't worth the risk to do it. So I agreed with them, and then I thought, oh, wait a minute, if I agree with them, then I've got to talk. So good luck on that one. Okay. Well, one of the things I want to talk about, and as I was preparing, I came across the thing, and it was about a man in Chicago, and this guy was seen quite often on the streets. He was always in ragged clothes and kind of disheveled and stuff like that. But then it went by where there was a time when they didn't see him for a couple of 3 days. And so he had an apartment, but the neighbors kind of got worried. And so they got in the apartment and found him that he had died in his bed. And so they did autopsy to find out why he died. And he died of malnutrition, which is really weird because he had a money belt on containing $23,000. And he died of malnutrition. He suffered from a spirit of lack. It's a negative spirit that gets in your life and it makes you think you don't have enough to survive. You don't have enough to accomplish the things that you're going to do. And it's a fear that just fills your heart. And so what I want to talk about today is, how do we get past that? And it's very simple. It's with a relationship to God. I mean, that's the more you trust God, the more you work with God, the more you do all the things that you need to do, the easier it is to do it. Have you watched a baby learn how to walk? They stand there and they're teetery, but the parents usually take them by the hand like this and they hold them as they walk with them. And the babies are trying to walk and all stuff. But pretty soon then it's one-handed. And then pretty soon they learn how to climb. And they get up on things. Well, they learn to walk first. Okay, they hold stuff and they walk. And pretty soon they start let go and then they do this. And you know, I go out to IKEA and I do my exercises. I go out there early in the morning, I have a $2 breakfast, and then I do 2 laps around the upper level and 1 lap around the bottom level, which gives me 25 minutes of exercise. And some people out there are getting to know me. You know, one time I was out there and this guy was there and I got down to the bottom. He goes, "You must be doing exercises. I've seen you in every department in here to the building today." It's like, yeah, that's what I'm doing. But one of the things that's fun is people come out there with their kids. They're little kids, and watch those kids grow from this to running in no time. They overcome that fear. It's a gradual process. They don't just overcome it automatically, but they do it. And one of the things I read, the guy was talking about one of the scriptures I'm going to read here, and he said that it's a positive scripture. He had to read it at least almost, he thinks, 1,000 times before it finally caught on. How many of us are that way? We have to go over things again and again and again and again. I'm still going over a lot of this stuff. But fear will always try to creep in. Satan will always try to sneak fear into our lives. How many of you have ever heard of Oral Roberts? Quite a few of us, okay. He was a healing pastor back in my early days in the 60s. What, grew up watching him every Sunday. Oral Roberts, he was a healing pastor. And I heard one of the things he was talking about, and they asked when he started the healing process. And he says, well, I got the prompting of the Spirit that I needed to do a healing ministry. And they says, well, how many people did you heal? He says, I laid hands on the first 500 people, and nobody got healed. 500 people he laid hands on, and nobody got healed. But he didn't stop. He kept going, and pretty soon people got healed, and it would have been really easy to be a healing pastor and have nobody healed. Isn't that anything? And make you kind of afraid to go, let's try this again. Let's try this again. But 500 times he had to go through that, and it was in prayers. And one of the prayers that he used is Ephesians 1, 16 to 20. And he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He's praying for somebody else. praying for somebody else's called intercessory prayer. If I know you have a problem and I pray for it, I'm interceding. I mean, it's called intercessory prayer. So you are in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Okay, there's intercession. I keep asking that you will get to know God better. How do you do that? Scriptures, prayer, talking with other people. That's part of the reason we're supposed to gather together, isn't it? So we can get together and talk. So that if I have a problem and I'm in the dumps, Jody can help me get through it. Amen. Slap me around a little bit with love. Okay? Say, I pray also that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope in which he has called you. He says, pray that your eyes will be opened so that you'll be able to see all that you need to see, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and his incomparable great power for us who believe. His great power for who? For us who believe. He's given us power. When you have that power and you know it, you overcome fear. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms. He gave power to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us power. But if we're the old guy with the money belt on and we don't use it, guess what? It doesn't do us any good. We spiritually wither up and die. Having all the power, having all the authority we need, not using it because we're afraid to maybe, or we have a spirit of lack, or we're not sure. Have you ever prayed for something you're just not sure? Well, that's part of the reason why you're praying, isn't it? To find out what you're supposed to do. Okay, pray about it. Think about it. Are you going to get an answer right off the bat? Maybe not. I know I haven't a couple of times because I had to learn something before I would receive the answer. I told you about when I went to a conference with Jerry Ann Harvey. Jerry Ann Harvey was a healing pastor. And Perry Ann would lay hands on people. And how many of you know what resting in the Spirit is? Okay, it's when you end up on the floor. And Jerry Ann was there, and I always had this hang-up about Jerry Ann. And I was like, oh, so I'm getting in line, and I'm going along, and a bunch of people are praying over people, and people are on the floor resting in the Spirit. And I'm going, please, God, not Jerry Ann. Please, God, not Jerry Ann. Please, God, not Jerry Ann. And I get up there. It's like, oh, she's busy. So I go over here. And this old guy prays over me. It was a good prayer. I needed to hear that. But I go over and I sit down. And Reverend Terry out of California, who was one of my teachers, she came over. She says, I felt the prompting that I need to pray over you. I says, okay. So she put her hands on me and she prayed over me. Completely different topic. But something I needed. And I was like, okay. So I went back, I went out, and I thought about it, and I came back in, and my friend Kathy was in there, and I said, I feel like I want to go through the line again. She goes, go ahead. Several people have done that. I went, okay. So I get in the line, please, God, not Jerry Ann. Please, God, not Jerry Ann. Please, God, not Jerry Ann. I get up there and look, and she's out on the floor cold, and I thought, yes. And I go over, and this young guy starts praying over me, and all of a sudden, if you've not had the experience, it's like you're falling. It's a very comfortable fall, but you're falling. And I tried to catch myself. And this young guy followed me to the floor, and part of his prayer was, what are you afraid of? And I was like, don't ask me hard questions. Don't ask me hard questions. But basically, I was told that I needed a billboard. I got home, and one day I was driving back up to when I was living in Ogden, and lo and behold, there was this great big billboard with my answer on it. And it was like, thank you. I mean, what can you say? So that's what Ephesians is. And Paul's talking here about us. And God wants to give us power. We have the power. We don't realize that. When you become a believer, you receive the Holy Spirit, you get the power.
Amen.
And there's power in the blood. That's how our sins were paid for. In the blood of Jesus. Used to freak me out, but now I love it. Because it's lively and it's about reality. There's power in the blood. And we think it's all because Jesus was nice and he was this, you know. No, it's because he gave his blood for us to walk in peace. Ephesians 3:14 through 19. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. Okay? He's kneeling in prayer. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. He's praying. Open their eyes to see what they have, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God.
Amen.
He's praying a wampum prayer for us.
Amen.
To really have it. Now, you know what? Satan's going to dance all over your head. How many of you haven't picked a word for this year? How many of you have used it? How many of you have received guff about it? Mine's focused. Do you think I have so many things that distract me? Everything can distract me because it's focus. And Scott will come down sometimes and he'll go, focus. I'm like, thank you. For reminding me. But Ephesians 6:12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Satan uses the stuff of this world.
Yep.
But our struggle is not against the stuff of this world. It's against the distractions. It's against the things that pull us apart. Things of the spirit can disrupt us more than things of the physical any time.
Spiritual battle.
All the time. Luke 10:19. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the powers of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. That's quite a big promise.
Amen.
Do we believe it? That's the thing we have to do. And the thing is, these things in Ephesians that I'm reading, you can turn them around and you can put your name in there. You can put your friends' names in there, whatever, and apply it to them. And use it for their benefit, to help them, and to recognize. I've told you before that I have a friend that I worked at the hospital with, had cystic fibrosis. He didn't believe God would help him, but heal him. He believed that he was glorifying God through his illness. And it was like, okay. So he believed in medicine. So Scott and I used to pray for him all the time. And so we changed our prayer to bless the medicine to do him some good, to do what needed to be done. And I walked into work one day and he says, guess what? And I said, what? He goes, they found a medicine for my CF. He takes it twice a day. And there's 3% of the population that has cystic fibrosis that it works on. He's one of those, he's in that 3%. There's something about a gate on sales that opens and closes that I don't completely understand. But he takes this medicine and it makes the gate work right, like WD-40 on the hinge. And it works. So he says, essentially, I don't have CF anymore. I'm like, thank you, Lord. He has to take this medicine twice a day. Each pill costs $500. 300 and how many days are in a year? Okay, that's how many thousands of dollars each year he has to take to not have CF. Now, It caused a lot of damage to his lungs and his body, so there's a lot of things still that's going on. But they can pray about those too. Okay? But Ephesians 1, 18 through 23 says, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Again, praying for us that we'll see the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints and the incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ. Did I pray that read this in before? No, okay. In Christ, when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fulfills everything in every way. That's a honking big prayer. It's a wonderful prayer. And the thing of it is, when we read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though it's all of his parts are many, they form one body. Okay, so your hand can't survive without the rest of you. What we think is unimportant is important. And it's easy to lose track of that. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or slaves or free, and we were all given the same Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of but one part, but of many. And then he compares the church to the body. That's why we're here. I'm a toenail. Jay's a brain. Kelsey's got the smarts. We've all got different abilities. We all fulfill different parts in the functioning of the church, in walking in Jesus Christ. We need each other. And you know what? Satan's going to try and put dividing walls up. One of the things that was interesting in the last week when they were talking about Billy Graham, back in the early days when he'd have his crusades, he insisted that they be integrated. If he had an all-white group, he wouldn't start until they got some mixed colors in there. Not just blacks over there, whites over here. They had to be integrated because they're all part of the body of Christ. They're all part of the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are the body and every part. How important is that little finger?
Very
important. It's got all the strength. When you're tightening a wrench, it's the one out here on the bottom that's got to do the torque. My aunt, she was kind of a butch lady, and she was doing some construction work one day, and she cut her finger off with the saw. So she didn't have that finger. And she says, until I cut my finger off, she says, I didn't realize how important that finger was and how much security it gave me. You pick up a baby and you are insecure because you don't have that little finger to help hold.
God knew his design.
A little finger is very important. So if anybody ever calls you a little finger, say, thank you.
Amen.
I'm part of the strength of the body. Now, we've got authority. So what do we do with that? Well, in the book of Acts, Paul and them are out on a mission quest. And they go into the city, and in Acts 16, 16 through 18, it says, once when we were going to a place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. Okay, first thing, she's a slave. She's possessed by a spirit. Do spirits lie? Not always. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. That didn't have anything to do. That could be lies. This girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. Is that the truth?
Yes.
Yep, that's the truth. Who are telling you the way to be saved. Truth.
Yes.
So what's wrong with the picture? She's a slave. She's possessed by a spirit. She's possessed. She's not a free will. But she keeps following him around yelling this, misleading the people, because they're starting to think she's something special when it's them that are special. And she keeps telling them the truth. Finally, she did that, kept that up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I ordered you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Why didn't God just zap her and get rid of that spirit? Because God doesn't do that. God has given us the authority. God gave Paul the authority. Paul walked around, put up with it for days and days and days and days. And finally, through his spirit, he turned around and rebuked and cast that spirit out. It's our responsibility. We have been given the power. We've been given the authority. We've been given the responsibility to take care of things like that. Now, after service, we're going to have some people over here praying for people. Why? Because that's what we do. We're supposed to pray for each other. We're supposed to lift each other up. You overcome something by dealing with it. How many of you drive? When you first got in the car to drive, was it scary?
Today it was.
Today it was, okay. Yeah, today it was. You know, but you've driven in snow before, right? So you had some experience. You know, don't go 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, but between 21st and 17th, I just put it in God's hands.
Yeah.
Pretty
scary. Yeah, but see, we have things that we're afraid of. But we get around them, we experience them, we deal with them, and we overcome that fear. That little kid learns to walk, holding mom's hands, then just one, then holding this. And then they start to run. And then they start to grab a cart and run with it. And it was like just fascinating watching those kids sitting there. Mom's putting stuff in their mouth and they're eating it, and pretty soon they're going. And then pretty soon mom hands them a fork. They take the fork and they stab it and they put it in their mouth. Now, Josh doesn't grab food and stick it in his mouth with his hands, does he? Do you? Okay, he says no. Okay. We're afraid. We have the authority. We have the power to tell it to shut up. When it comes into your life, you have to tell the fear to shut up and denounce it. You can't just say, "Oh, I don't like this." Well, you can do that. But what's going to happen tomorrow when it comes back? I don't like this. One of the scriptures we read says that they gave him authority to stamp on demons. You have the authority. Are you afraid of it? No. Another one I read was a story about, who was it? I can't remember his name now. But he had this little demon sitting on his shoulder that was screaming and screaming. Oh, Brother Hagin. And it was screaming. He was trying to listen to Jesus, and this demon kept yelling and screaming. And he thought, why doesn't God shut that thing up? Because God's still trying to tell him, and he can't hear. And finally, it's my responsibility. Oh, it's quiet now. We have that responsibility. Are we afraid of new things? Yeah. Are there things in my life that scare me? Yeah. Are there a lot of things I was scared of before that I'm not now? Yeah. Yeah. Scott asked me, he says, aren't you afraid just to get up and talk? No. Why? Because I've done it before. Now, when I was at a retreat down at BYU, I was put in front of a crowd of 4,000. That was a little scary because I hadn't done it before. But then I spoke before 20,000. Was I afraid? No. Because I knew what the Holy Spirit had told me to say. So I stood before the pride down at the county building. 20,000 people or plus in attendance. And I gave a moment of silence for the people who died of AIDS. In my talk, I used the example of David. David lived to be a ripe old age, and he curled up and he died. I said, we have hundreds of people that didn't get that chance because they were taken away too soon. So you have fears. I got the news this morning when I got here that Kyle wasn't going to speak today. It's like, is Kelsey going to speak? That's exactly what I got. Says it all. But I trusted God. And that's what I told God in the back. I said, okay, God, I'm trusting you. I thumbed through. I found some scriptures. Okay, I'm trusting you. I went and shoveled the walk again. God gives us things. God gives us direction. God gives us power. God gives us ability. God gives it to us. We have to use it.
Amen.
I can have $23,000 in a money belt and die of malnutrition. You got thousands of words of guidance in here. How many of you are hungry? How many of you are undernourished? How many of us are in the dark? How many of us are afraid? It's in here. But we have to believe it. Now, Jesus scared of spiders, right? Yeah. Now, you know what? That's because they just run after him and they scream and yell and chase him. No. He just has this thing about spiders. He can smash a spider really easy.
I don't like snakes either.
Yeah. The thing of it is, we can overcome those things. If Jay needs to smash a spider, he can do it, right?
Yeah, I'm far enough away.
But we learn. But also, let me tell you something. We learn things to be afraid of. If you see a mountain lion up on a walk, you're not going to run over and try and pet it. Yeah, you're kitty kitty. No. We learn to be smart. We learn to be smart. So that's the message today, is overcoming fear. God gives us all the tools. We have to use them. We can't walk around with them in a money belt around our waist. I can't put this on my pillow at night. Oh, that's so much better. It doesn't do anything. It's got to go from here to here to here. But God gives us the tools to do it. But we have to believe it. If God says you have the power to tell that little demon to shut up, tell it to shut up.
Amen.
You know what? And it may not want to the first time, but you tell it again. Shut up. Or Roberts, 500 times, nothing. After that, he wore out his shoulder socket, blessing people. So that's what it is. It's listening to the Spirit and knowing that the Spirit will talk to you. Get quiet and listen to what the Spirit has to say. And don't be afraid to ask. Sometimes we're afraid to ask because we're afraid of what the answer will be.
Amen.
Been there, done that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to shut up now because I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to come down there and you're all going to read what's on the screen really loud.
Woo-hoo.
And I'm going to stand there and shut up because I get... When I try to read along, I get so far off whack, it's like you'd be wondering what the heck I was reading. Besides, I want you to be involved in this because you're the ones that need to get it. Well, I need to get it too, but I'll get it from listening to you. Okay? You ready? Here we go.
Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is the vindication from me, declares the Lord. Deuteronomy 30:19. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live. Luke 9:1. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure all diseases. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. 1 Corinthians 15:57-58. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Okay. As you were reading that, one of the things I really like in there, it says, I remind you, Satan. I remind you that I have authority. I remind you that you don't. And we have to do that. We have to remind Satan, you're a loser. You're the loser. Amen. You're the one that started up the team against the Lord. I remind you. Because he's going to keep trying. The other thing I thought of is that in your life, if you want to lose a battle real quick, invite Satan into your house. How do you do that? Ouija boards, tarot cards, crystals. I knew somebody one time had this crystal. He says, there's so much power in this crystal. And I flipped it. And he says, what are you doing? I says, I'm being mean to it to see if it'll do anything. It's a rock
that God created,
but it has no power over your life. You can take a hammer and smash it. It's just a rock. But some people put their trust in rocks and fortune tellers. You know what? You ever heard of the psychic hotline? They went bankrupt. If they're psychic, why didn't they win the lottery? Be aware of what's going on around you. Be aware of what you bring into your home.
What you watch, what you listen to.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who predicted the end of the world could not predict his own death.
What's that?
The guy who predicted the end of the world couldn't predict his own death.
That's right. Yeah. So, anyway, now I want you to close your eyes, bow your head, take a few minutes here, and ask the Holy Spirit again, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? What fear is in my life that I keep hanging on to, that I refuse to let go of? Because it's there because for some reason, you're keeping it there. Would you pray with me? Loving God, as we sit here with our eyes closed, opening our minds to your Holy Spirit, asking, what is it you want us individually to get from this message? And Lord, like Paul prayed for the Ephesians, I pray for us that we will set aside the fears that we have and realize that those fears do not come from you. You're a God of love and compassion. Jesus came to die on that cross, to give his blood as a sacrifice in place of the lambs, to take away all of our sins. Lord, help us to receive that blessing if we have not. If we haven't invited Jesus into our lives, Lord, help us to do that. And then walk in that peace and that glory and rejoice in you. And rejoice in you and in each other, knowing that we are all your children. And Lord, sometimes as children, we squabble with each other. Help us to get over that. Help us to get over that. Because Lord, we're all very important to you. We're all very important. And help us to know that. In Jesus' name, amen.